Last case for the morning is State versus Briggs. Good morning, counsel.
Good morning, judges. May it please the court, I'm Bethany Stenchard, assistant public defender for Mr. Briggs. The state has already conceded today that this search was unlawful, and that therefore this court should reverse the district court's decision. In its brief, the state has conceded that Omaha Police Department did not follow standardized operating procedures for proper inventory search, and therefore, with that point enough, this search was unlawful. What the state is attempting to do today is to combine the two protections we as citizens have from unlawful inventory searches into one test. Those protections are, one, that the inventory must be in compliance with standardized operating procedures.
I'm going to stop you just real quick. Your statement was because they did not do the inventory search, per se, it is an unlawful, the inventory search. It is per se unlawful?
No, I'm not, Judge. Whether or not the officers were in compliance with standardized operating procedures is clearly a determination of reasonableness. And that's what this court has upheld and our jurisdiction has upheld. Okay.
So your statement about the state had, and maybe I heard it wrong, the state had conceded something then?
The state has conceded that the officers didn't comply at all with the standardized operating procedures. And therefore, right there, the evaluation's done, in my opinion.
When you say, what evaluation?
Of this case, Judge.
That's what I'm trying to get at. What authority do you have for that? Nebraska authority.
Well, United States Supreme Court from Opperman, Wells, and Bertin have held that there are two separate protections. There's your protection that the search must be in accordance with standardized operating procedures, and then also it may not be pretextual.
Okay, now I'm confused. So the fact that they didn't follow standardized operating procedures.
Yes.
Okay, and you say the state concedes that they did not.
Correct.
That leads to the conclusion that you said of reasonableness, but then I also heard you say that
generally, when you're evaluating whether the officers were in compliance with standardized operating procedures, you do it through a measure of reasonableness.
Okay.
Strict compliance is not necessary. But in the facts of this case, there was no compliance whatsoever. Since the state has conceded that there was no compliance whatsoever, the determination is, in my belief, terminated. This search was unlawful. The decision of the district court needs to be reversed.
Okay. So just let me, the fact that they didn't follow standard operating procedures at all.
Right.
Leads to the determination that it was an unlawful search.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes. The second protection that I've already talked about that we have from unlawful inventory searches is that they can't be a pretext to an officer searching for incriminating evidence. Today, the state has asked you to combine these two tests into one, essentially arguing that because the district court didn't find enough evidence of pretext, then therefore the search was reasonable.
When the court commented in its order that because, I'm trying to remember the language the court used, the car was filled to the gills, I think, something along that line, with personal property, did that create a difference here as opposed to a normal inventory search?
Well, as the officers conceded themselves, the standardized operating procedure was that no matter what the value of the items, all items must be inventoried. Additionally, as the state also agrees, there were items of value. If the officers wanted to impound the vehicle and wanted to tow it, they had to do it properly, and they didn't do it properly here.
Nebraska Supreme Court has already said that having not done it according to Hoyle, having not done it perfectly, that in and of itself isn't ultimately determinative of this issue, right? This issue is one of reasonableness, is it not?
Right. As I said earlier, it's not strict compliance. It is reasonableness. What I'm disagreeing with the state's assertion today is that you get to combine the two issues. There is an issue of reasonableness. Was it reasonable? Were the officers being in reasonable compliance with standardized operating procedures? If they were, then we move on to pretext. What the district court and what the state is arguing today found is that because there wasn't enough evidence of pretext, it is therefore reasonable. And that's a circular argument, judges, which I think falter the protections we have as citizens from unlawful inventory searches. Secondly, as I want to point out, the district court found that if we are to move to pretext, and if you want to address pretext today, you do so under the de novo review, because the district court inappropriately found that the officer's motives don't matter. That's a question of law. It's an incorrect assertion of the law, and therefore this court reviews that issue de novo. Finally, the state tries to distract this court with case law regarding the impound of vehicles. Here, the impound wasn't ordered and didn't happen until after the unlawful search occurred. I think reliance on that kind of law is a little irrelevant. Back to the inventory. An inventory search can potentially serve three government interests, which we are all aware of. One, the protection of the owner's valuables, protection from police for allegations of theft or damage, and then protection of the police from danger. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to support that the police were in danger in this vehicle. And then the state cannot both argue that the inventory was necessary to protect items and then that they didn't do the inventory because there were no valuables. As stated previously, the state has already agreed that the Omaha Police Department did not follow standardized operating procedures. The procedures they didn't follow were, one, that it was OPD policy, Omaha Police Department policy, to tow a vehicle only when necessary. That they should lock and leave vehicles whenever possible. That if they are to inventory, they have to inventory all personal property items, regardless of value, and that they have to draft an inventory report.
Does it matter here that the car was parked on private property as opposed to public road or public property?
Well, if it was on a public road or public property, I think that the officers have a right to, which brings us back to the impound. They're allowed to impound, and if they're allowed to impound, then they're more than likely going to need to do an inventory, which also both need to be in accordance with standardized operating procedures. Because the car was on private property, I think the state points to that previous case law has found that a vehicle can be towed if it was a nuisance. However, this court and the Supreme Court have recently reiterated that it's the state's burden of proving that an impound, that an inventory was done in compliance with standardized operating procedures. The state failed to adduce any evidence that it was standardized operating procedures to tow a vehicle from a private parking lot due to nuisance. Additionally,
so let me walk you through a couple of things here. Assume for a second that we find that the police had a right to impound this vehicle. Okay? Assume those facts. At that point, they had a right to inventory that vehicle, correct?
They had a right. Well, first I want to point out that I completely disagree with that hypothetical doesn't apply in this case. But let's say
assume that they had a right to impound that vehicle and made the decision to impound that vehicle. At that point, they had a right to inventory it, correct?
They should inventory. Their standardized operating procure says that they should inventory and they should inventory.
And then your position at that point is it just doesn't look like an inventory at all, therefore it's not.
This wasn't an inventory. This was an incriminating search for contraband, which they found.
So you say that because they didn't fill out an inventory report, but doesn't that their camera videos indicate that they actually rifled through the entirety of that vehicle?
Respectfully, Judge, rifling through a car and doing an inventory are two completely different things.
How are they different?
Because when the whole point of an inventory is to make sure that the owner's valuables are protected, that the police are protected from being sued later. If all they're doing is rifling through, then the rifling through serves absolutely no purpose. And
but if they're rifling through it and they come to the conclusion that there's nothing of value with respect to those items, and they say that we're not going to write them down then because there's just no value here, does that render it not an inventory?
right, because they didn't inventory. They didn't do an inventory. They don't get to decide what's valuable and what's not valuable. The standardized operating procedure says that they must inventory all items regardless of value. If the inventory search is to hold any muster, if it's going to allow for any protections for the for us citizens, they have to be in compliance with standardized operating procedures.
What if their body cam identifies? I mean, isn't a picture, a video of the items even better in terms of, you know, proving what was in the car for the protection of the person so things didn't get stolen, or protection of the police that there was nothing of danger in there? Isn't a picture on their body cam better than a written piece of paper that lists it all out?
I have two issues with that. One, I completely disagree, because again, it's not in accordance with standardized operating procedures. And two, it's not what happened here. As they said, this car was filled to the gills with items. How do they not know that within those items were some very valuable items? They didn't do an inventory search. They did a pretextual search and tried to justify it as an inventory.
Well, but they didn't just stop when they found, you know, the drugs here, right? I mean, they looked through the car. They didn't just, I mean, I would understand your position here if they looked in the front, they found the drugs, they stopped, and they didn't do anything else. They did something more here, did they not?
They didn't write any items down.
I know they didn't write them down, but did they, in fact, go through the vehicle and look through its contents?
In my opinion, they went through the vehicle looking for more contraband, Judge.
Thank you. How much did we take her over?
Yes, Judge.
1:31.
Okay, add that to the appellee's time, please. Good morning, Mr. Ralph.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. I apologize for my voice. I've been fighting a cold for a while now.
That's why you're there and we're here.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're last.
Right. Sole issue on appeals, whether the district court erred in overruling the motion to suppress.
How much do you concede?
All I conceded was that they did not follow their policy. Beyond that, I did not concede that the district court erred or that there was reversible error. I do think those are two separate things.
Was there an inventory search?
Well, the district court found that there was, and we don't think that that was clearly wrong based on the evidence, so yes.
What constitutes an inventory search?
Well, generally it's, you know, cataloging the information, cataloging, looking for it in your, not your investigatory purpose, your crime-fighting purpose, but rather the community caretaking type purpose is the foundation for this exception to the warrant requirement. And so generally, you're supposed to have the standard operating procedures, you're supposed to follow them, catalog it, et cetera, of a lawfully impounded vehicle. But what the case law has said is that the failure to follow the standard operating procedures is not per se reversible error. It's not per se unconstitutional. That following that is just indicative. It's evidence of an inventory search. And so, like, for example, Nunez, 2018 case in Nebraska, failure to strictly follow established policy does not render an inventory search unconstitutional per se.
But this wasn't just a deviation.
Correct. And I wanted to follow up, too. Like, their main case that they rely on, Roland, from the Eighth Circuit, talks about, in our opinion, by failing to make a record of all property within the vehicle, law enforcement failed, straight up, just failed to follow its own procedures, and thus did not conduct the search pursuant to standardized policy procedures. This is not dispositive, however, and they go on to ask, was there something more indicative of pretext? Same thing in the Eighth Circuit case of U.S. v. Taylor. Even if police fail to adhere to standardized procedures, the search is nevertheless reasonable, provided it is not a pretext for an investigatory search. So I don't think that I improperly combined anything. All I said was that generally, yes, complying with the standard procedures is basically reasonable under the Fourth Amendment, but a failure to follow them is not per se unreasonable.
So it starts to look less like an inventory search the more you deviate from standard protocol, right?
Yes.
So what do you have here that would suggest that this was, in fact, an inventory search?
Basically, I have the officer's testimony, which the district court credited, at least in some way, in its order, saying basically the reason we didn't follow or the reason we didn't catalog the information was because it was stuffed to the brim, and we didn't think that there was anything. of value. It was basically junk. And so to me, that does not qualify or does not rise to the level of pretext, and I don't think that there's anything in the record, enough in the record to say that that was clear error on the part of the district court. So we're really resting on officer testimony at district court finding standard of review.
Given that the officers were called to the scene because of some kind of mace incident, and then they determined who the parties were, why is it that the car just could not have been locked and left there?
It possibly could have. I don't know for certain, but I do think it is overall reasonable, and this is part in my brief where I differentiated between decision to impound, decision to inventory. When you're on a private business lot and you're not sure how long the guy's going to be, you know, when he can actually retrieve the vehicle, I think there's case law out there saying it is reasonable to impound in those circumstances to not interfere with the business, to reduce the risk of theft or vandalism, et cetera. And so to me, the decision to impound was not inconsistent with the policy, and it was reasonable under those circumstances.
Did the evidence show that they even discussed or even walked through the issue of impounding this until after they had done the inventory?
No. I believe the first time the impoundment is discussed is well after the arrest and search. But my understanding from the testimony was, well, we knew we had to arrest it, and so, or impound it. And so that discussion, I don't think necessarily is, you know, dispositive, I suppose.
The cases that you cited that, that stand for the proposition
excuse me,
a deviation from standard operating procedures, then you just, then you can move to the pretext issue. Eighth Circuit cases only?
No, there's others.
Are there Nebraska cases? On terms of moving to pretext after you find that there's not been compliance with standard operating procedures.
Well, I think Nunez is probably the closest, and in that, it's a 2018 case. Let me find it here. They cite Roland for authority for much of what they put in that decision, but they have the prop about failure strictly followed does not render it unconstitutional per se. Compliance with procedures merely tends to ensure the intrusion is limited to carrying out the government's caretaking function. And then they just go on to say, well, really it's an overall reasonableness part. They then distinguish the Newman case before, and I forget the year of the Newman case, but they talk about in Newman, the timing of the search and the facts surrounding it raised an inference that the search was not designed to produce inventory, but to discover incriminating evidence. Here they let, and they go on to say, you know, that inference wasn't raised in Nunez. But I think that is sort of the indicative of the pretext and the overall reasonableness framework, which is if you have standard procedures and you follow them, it's reasonable. If you have them and you don't follow them, it's a problem. It's evidence perhaps of pretext or of a bad motive, but it's not per se unconstitutional, so we look for something more. What are the facts and everything surrounding the search to determine if it was in fact inventory or purely investigatory. So that's my understanding of the legal framework. And like I said, we're resting primarily on the district court's finding, and I think crediting of the officer's testimony, and then of course the standard of review, which is we're reviewing for clear error. Unless there are further questions, we'd ask that you affirm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you both being here. The case is submitted. I think we ran her over time, didn't we? So there's no rebuttal. Right. Okay. So thank you both for being here. The case is submitted. We'll take it under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we are adjourned.